TheKMAN.com.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and we need like another couple hours. We can keep going on and on and on about this subject, talking about World War I history, talking about influenza history. Here in the studio, we have Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins, Elena Parker, who's the curator of design for the museum. Also, we got Jed Dunham, the PIO for K-State's Division of Communications and Marketing, who just recently gave a quarterly or gave a presentation at the museum's quarterly meeting presenting on the 1918 influenza.
We thought it
pandemic.
Was timely. With the 100th anniversary timely. Coming in. You know,
right.
You could use a topical event there.
And with that, we got probably about 5 minutes or so with you all before we get Michael Crispin here to talk about the March for Science that's going to be taking place tomorrow. But we mentioned it earlier in the show that we're reaching these 100-year milestones when we're talking about World War One. Looking back on that 100 years, what's and anybody can answer this, but what do you think is the big takeaways as far as what we can take from World War One and apply it to today's world?
Well, I always say that, you know, the most fascinating aspect of history is the fact that we learn so little from it. And so I think that could be kind of a pertinent topical idea there that, you know, the lessons of the First World War are still with us. And they should be paid attention to because, you know, the human race, as advanced as we like to think we are, we're still animals. And we still have a very close propensity to extreme violence. And, you know, the First World War did not begin with the idea that it was going to take 4 years. It was, you know, an assassination of a very minor political figure in, you know, a far-off region of a, you know, dying empire that's ignited this. And so it's very important to, you know, to look at, you know, the thing that we're really, you know, red hot about at the moment. Well, maybe we won't be so red hot about that 3 or 4 years later when it's expanded to such a degree that the First World War did. So it's very important to, you know, to understand the treaties that are in place, the politics that are in place, the characters that are in place, the saber rattling that happens, because it, you know, peace is a very fragile thing, and we should protect it with all costs because the human race has shown time and time and time again that our propensity to violence is without barriers.
And like you mentioned, it was a minor event when you talk about that assassination of the Archduke. The country's escaping me.
Yeah, Austro-Hungarian Empire at the time. Austro-Hungarian Empire at the time.
And you bring up a good point because I think if you were to go back in time, maybe like in real time, maybe just hours after that assassination happened, you were to tell anybody that this is going to spark a world war, the Great War, and an incredible death count, people probably would have rolled their eyes being like, no, there's no way that could lead to that.
Yeah, they generally send you to the sanatorium.
Right.
That guy's crazy. What's he talking about?
But it is a bunch of interconnected events. If there's anything I learned studying history at K-State, is that we tend to look at history as like dates and these big important events and thinking that these events just kind of happen and spring out of nowhere, but that's not true. It's a bunch of little things that lead up to this big event. The big event is not isolated on itself. It's a lot of things that happened before it that lead up to it. Elena, when it comes to the research you've been doing on this, kind of looking back and reflecting and looking at today's headlines and some of the research that you found, what's some of the thoughts that you've had during this research?
Well, and as you mentioned, you can see how some events, it's that domino effect, like Judd was mentioning earlier, that lead to others. And we were talking about, for instance, World War One, how the repercussions of what happened there led into World War Two, and you can see these things through time. And, you know, Jed always emphasizes that putting it on the timeline, you can really see the connection of events. And that's what I love most about history, too, is you can really – it's those personal stories, too, and that each one is connected. And it's amazing to see how it's not just isolated here in Manhattan or Riley County, but there are all these events nationwide and even worldwide. So it's just been a really, as I mentioned, a humbling thing to research these things. And, you know, in listening to Jed's presentation on Tuesday evening, you listen, this is what people experienced. And you compare, like you said, we're still experiencing some of these things today in just a different way.
Absolutely.
So, and there's always that local impact.
Yes. Well, and that's it. This exhibit really gave us an opportunity to look at some of these individual stories and pull from the collection. And so just some of the other artifacts that are very personal that we have on exhibit currently, trench art pieces. So we have some of the armament shells that when soldiers, if they had downtime, They are making etchings into these armament shells. We have, and I should mention, you know, trench art, it wasn't necessarily, you're not doing this in the trenches all the time. Let's say if a soldier was wounded in the hospital, they would be making some kind of art form. So we have some of those pieces, we have the names of those individuals, and just to put yourself in that place and time and what these people experienced, when you look at these artifacts, it really speaks to you.
And it really shows you just how art, keeps, even in the worst times, yes, people still find a way to be creative.
And absolutely.
Human spirit
creates
some art. Yeah, can't stop the human spirit.
They are beautiful pieces. So, but that's just one example of some of the many things we have on exhibit. And one of the really interesting pieces, too, it's a large flag, and it has 54 stars on it. Which you look, I know.
Well, just doing, I don't want to take off my shoes to do more math, but yeah, I think we were at 50.
Yeah, 48. We would have had 48 states. So it included, this is a time of imperialism, so it included the territories at that time too. So we have that on exhibit, and what's neat is you could see the label, the manufacturer is Baker & Lockwood, which is still in business today. They actually make awnings out of Kansas City, Missouri. So it's neat to find, here's something they did back in 1917, 1918, and to see that today. So,
you know, another thing that's real interesting, we'll kind of just wrap up with this. I think you got another thing you want to mention, kind of an announcement,
sure.
Jed. But looking at the kind of the headlines today, and we talked about how after World War I ended, everybody thought that was it. We're not going to have another World War I again. And a decade or so later, we have World War II.
Germany thought a little bit differently.
They did think a little bit differently. When you look at the headlines today, when you look at that worry of a possible World War III, you got things going on with North Korea, you got probably more concerning things going on in Syria. Just what are you seeing as with your historical knowledge? What are you seeing as far as the landscape right now?
I think we're in very trying times. I mean, I'm always an optimist, so I always believe that sanity will prevail. I think it's always important though to really put the deep, the deep forecast out there of kind of worst case scenarios, and I think that's really something that, in political, knowledge might be helpful there to kind of say, if we do this, what's the worst case scenario? We like to think that if we do this, well, that will stop and this will happen. But we should really be considering deeply all of the worst cases, even as far, bizarre as they may sound, because all too often, the decisions that we make today have impacts that 6 months later, we're going, we're in a much different position where the decisions are much more difficult. So caution, patience, tap down the rhetoric, take a nap maybe.
And look back at your history.
And look back at the history, absolutely.
For some clues.
Don't make any rash, knee-jerk decisions.
Does Syria concern you more than North Korea did a few months
ago?
Well,
neither one of them is is a situation there. They think the great political statements there is, you can do whatever you want in North Korea and try to get peace there, but, you'll always have the Middle East to deal with as well. So there's real challenges that exist that I think the first thing to say, what is our interest? What really affects us here in the United States as opposed to, what's our benefit of going out there and doing all this? I mean, it's a horrible scenario. Civil war is the worst creation in the human race. And so there's no good situations. There's no easy solutions. And, I don't want to forecast, all day on politics here, but it's a very dicey scenario that really should be approached with extreme caution. And a look back at history and what the human race is capable of would do us all good to kind of navigate those decisions.
And just real quick, you mentioned something about Silent Guard. I know you wanted to get that in.
Yeah, so I always say that the challenge of history is putting ourselves in the context of it and bringing it to our own personal perspectives. And as I've shared this story, the 48 fallen throughout K-State, it's just been fascinating to see how different people have received it. And one group that I presented to is the K-State ROTC programs, and several members of the Cadet Corps in that took this story and said, what can we do to honor our past? And so the Pershing Rifles, the K-State military, the Precision Military Drill Team here at K-State, took it upon themselves to conduct a 24-hour silent guard, much like you would see at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington. And on the centennial death, the 100th anniversary of each one of the 48 fallen's deaths, they get out there in front of the Wildcat statue at the K-State Alumni Center in World War I Memorial Stadium, and they, from midnight to midnight, perform 30-minute stretches of these silent honor guards in honor of their fallen students. And they've been doing this, as the deaths start to happen now. And so this weekend, Saturday, April 14th, is the 100th anniversary of the death of Wilbur Juicy Lane, who was a K-State student who was, his story's a little bit nuts there. But the Pershing Rifles will be out there from midnight tonight till midnight tomorrow in the freezing, drizzling sleet and rain, honoring their fallen. And I think that's just a tremendous tribute to see how this continues forward. And I was speaking to them when they about this last night, and I just, these guys are young, 18, 19, 20-year-old, students. And I said, in 50 years, when you're at your grandparents' age, you're going to look back, and the World War is going to be 150 years in our past, and it's going to be even farther removed. And these students, by participating in this, are going to have a real personal connection to the war and to their past and to their history. And I think that's really a deeply honorable thing to do. So go out to the World War I Memorial Stadium tomorrow and just stand in tribute as well with the Honor Guard.
Very, very cool. And show real quick, Riley Cunningham Historical Museum, where do they find you?
We're at 2309 Claflin Road and open 8:30 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 2 to 5 Saturday and Sunday, and we're free.
All right. Thanks so much coming in.
Thank you very much.
Good discussion. More In Focus coming up.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance